Welcome back to the podcast. Today we're talking about Bee, which is a Amazon-owned wearable company. It's only $50 for this product. If we talked more about how these physical, you know, wearables are going to become more popular. Jayden has actually bought one of these and he's demoed it. So today he's going to tell us all about it. Jayden, why don't you tell us, is this a useful product?
I will say in its current state and form, Bee is a terrible product. And I'm disappointed to say that because I would love to say that it was awesome. Essentially, I bought it after Amazon started initiating this acquisition. And I was like, oh my gosh, Amazon's buying this random AI hardware company. This is interesting. Let me go check it out. So I'll tell you what it does. And I don't think this is a bad thing. I think it's a V1. It's not going to be that great. Hopefully it gets better in the future. On the show, we'll talk a little bit about why it's not great and why Amazon bought it and where it's going to go. But before we do that, I want to tell you guys about the school community. Every single week, Jamie and I record a video on school. And right now we are doing a whole segment talking about how to build a software company. If you are not a coder, not a developer, if you have an app or software idea, how to do it. Last week, I built a fully fledged podcast distribution company, which will soon in the future be available on podcaststudio.com. It's a URL I own. I use it for my local service podcast studio business, which is going to move into another domain name. And podcaststudio.com is going to be a fully fledged online podcast studio software platform. I did this entire project, which, by the way, in the past, I've spent over, $600,000 on my current project, AI Box. I've spent 3 years developing that platform. But this new one that I've worked on in the last week, I have spent 4 days and $200 and built a fully fledged software product that is absolutely amazing. It works. It does so many cool integrations. If you want to follow along on the journey on how I built that and how you can build something too, go check out the school community. It's linked in the description. All right. Let's talk about what's going on with Bee from Amazon. So the thing that's really cool about Bee is that it is essentially a little microphone on a wristband on your wrist. You have to push a button to enable it, and then it's going to listen to your audio conversations, transcribe them, and basically that's what it does. It gives you notes on like your conversations. Now, so it's kind of just like a little spy recorder device that ties into a transcription tool, which this is a very simple device to build, if I'm being honest. I mean, you have to go figure out manufacturing in China, but like it literally is a microphone and it links up to probably OpenAI's transcribe model. And that's their whole product. The reason why it's not that great is because you have to remember to push and turn it on. It has memory storage limits. You have to get the audio off of it. It doesn't actually listen that well. I don't think it uses that great of a transcription model. I don't actually think it's using OpenAI. I think they try to use a free open source one. Those are all the reasons why it's not that great of a tool. It's not super useful. So then the question becomes, why did Amazon buy it? Because the way it works is, I think it was like $50 to buy it, but then you have to have a subscription. I'm trying to remember what my subscription was for. It might've been like $20 a month or something. And that's basically for ongoing, usage support.
Right.
It's not that great of a product, but I have a couple of theories on why Amazon bought it. Jamie, would you use something like this? Like basically a wristband that records you?
I mean, I could see it if it was useful and if it worked well for business purposes, I could see it being helpful. I don't see like just wearing it, to pick my kids up from school or anything. I don't see that purpose. It looks, based on the picture, kind of looks like a sport band. Do you wear yours on your wrist then?
I mean, I've worn it a few times to test it out, but yeah, that's the purpose of it, is okay. Like you wear it on your wrist. It's like a watch, but it's like, if you already have a watch, it doesn't tell the time, so it wouldn't do the watch face thing.
It's pretty far from your mouth. Maybe that's why it doesn't record very well.
Yeah, it's far from your mouth, so it doesn't record that good. So my theory on why they bought it is, I think Amazon wants to get into, there's a couple reasons. Number one, I think they actually can get a lot of audio content from it, especially depending on how they do the terms of service with it. But like for training their models, they have Alexa already. And so they're, basically you can imagine they'll turn this into Alexa on your wrist, is I think what their vision is for the product. So it doesn't really matter, what it does so much as what it can do in the future. And so I think they have all the technology. If they stick Alexa into this, you have Alexa on your wrist. I think that's where they want to go with it. As it is today, I'm shocked that people have purchased this. But I also think that there's a really interesting play you can make with, which I think they're going to go in this direction, which is like doing these like meeting summary note taker things, right? Like when you hop into these Zoom calls and Google Meets nowadays, everyone's got like Fireflies or like all of the other meeting recorders that listen to the whole meeting and they transcribe it and send you like a document after.
Right.
I think that those are really awesome, but what those tools don't do is in-person meetings. So you might do like a call and it gives you the thing and then you go to the boardroom and you do like a meeting with like five people and then you don't have that same functionality. So I think if you tied in a tool like this with that software, you could have it transcribe and give you notes for all of your meetings. And I think that's probably where this tool would become useful. It's not so much like for me, just like an everyday person walking around and talking to people. Like I was at my podcast studio when I was testing this out, I think a month ago. And, you know, turning it on and talking to clients and stuff, like there wasn't really that much stuff that needed, or like I'd have it going for like a whole podcast episode. Like I didn't really need to get like a summary of my podcast episode or my conversations with my clients, but I think for meetings, it would be useful. And then I think it's like the only way you can really get a physical version of a meeting. So I think that could be useful.
Yeah. And I get that. I guess that, you know, that's a pretty basic functionality, but could definitely be useful to some people. I could also see if it is connected to Alexa and you have like a fully integrated smart home, you know, you could be like, you know, preheat my oven to 425 and, you know, turn, you know, shut my lights off or unlock my house. You know, I could see that being, you know, kind of a cool function for some people in the future as well. But yeah, definitely not for everybody.
And then I do have an interesting thought. Like imagine if this was a portable Alexa, which would be sweet, right? You would have to make sure that it is voice enabled, but also there's like a whole bunch of, I feel like, security risks, because if it's like unlock my house or open my garage doors or heat up my house, like imagine if someone stole that and then they could just like wreak havoc on your house by talking to it and telling it to control your life. Like that would be pretty annoying. Or dangerous, right? They could break into your house with it, unless it had vocal recognition, which I know some companies are doing. Like, I don't know if you've noticed this, but every time I call American Express nowadays, they're like, you know, press one to opt into vocal recognition. And then instead of having to like type in your security PIN, we'll just use your voice to do it, which again, isn't even that secure, because literally anyone listening to this podcast can go clone my voice on some voice cloning tool. And they could go like get into my American Express. Now I've exposed myself. My American Express cards are all going to get hacked. Thanks, guys. Everyone that's listening for that. I'll never tell you my mother's maiden name. Great. You go look that up on Facebook too. Oh, man. Yeah. See, we're kind of like all doomed with this voice cloning stuff. So anyways, all I'm saying is like, it's cool, but there's like a lot of security vulnerabilities with that too, you know?
Yeah, I would be curious to know, do you know, have any idea if B owns any patents related to this? Because maybe it was like a patent purchase because for the technology for the future, you know, maybe they have other ideas as well.
Yes, sure. I think, so this is what the co-founder said specifically about this. She said, we see each other as complementary friends, talking about Amazon and Alexa. B has the understanding of outside the house and Alexa has the understanding of inside the house. Of course, there'll be a future where those two things come together. So that's basically going to our point of an Alexa on your wrist everywhere you go. I don't know if they have like any specific patents that like will make it so that they're the only ones that can do this, because this isn't that novel, in my opinion, of like a use case. So yeah. I don't think they have anything like exclusive. And I think it's pretty hard. I mean, even if they did, Chinese companies would knock it off and do it anyway. So like, I really don't know how defensible that is beyond just like it had a summary name recognition. They'd already built a product. This is what I think they're doing. Amazon, I think, is basically copying Meta's play when Meta bought Oculus and turned into Meta VR. I think they're just copying that same play. The Meta Oculus was not that good when it first came out. I have like an early version of it and like it would sort of give you a headache and it was a little blurry and like a little disorienting. And they did a lot of work and made it much better in the future. So like, and then today, I think Meta's the winner because they took all that technology that they spent billions of dollars making their metaverse, which was RIP. But all of that technology that they did develop did get put into the Meta Ray-Ban collaboration, which is a very popular product today. A lot of people buy it. And I think it's the future of augmented reality, virtual reality. Basically, where it goes is like Meta Ray-Bans. You're just going to be able to superimpose like, oh, I want directions. And it's going to have a little arrow on your eye that's like, okay, turn right here to get to the house, and you just follow that, or like it'll have little pop-ups for something that you're doing. So I think that that's actually very useful. The Meta Ray-Ban has a speaker right next to your ear, so you can hear from it. Has a microphone attached to it. It's not very far from your face, so you can talk to it, and it has cameras on the front of it, so it can see. So for all intents and purposes, I think Meta is a big winner in this wearable space. Amazon wants to get a piece of that. And I think the fastest way they can do it is just with an audio direct tying into Alexa. And so they're going to essentially buy this hardware company that doesn't have a very fleshed out product, but probably buy it pretty cheap, and then stick their technology into it, ramp it up, and try to make it this really fancy thing like Meta did to Oculus.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for listening. If you got any value out of this episode, we'd really appreciate a rating or a review wherever you're listening. Those help us out a lot and help us be able to reach more people. Don't forget to check out the AI Hustle School community for our a new series on software development. You can become a software developer even if you don't know how to code. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.